I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to our scripture reading this morning, found in 1 Peter chapter 4. And as you turn there, I invite you to follow along and listen as we hear the good news. The end of everything has come. Therefore, be self-controlled and clear-headed so you can pray. And above all, show sincere love to each other, because love brings about the forgiveness of many sins. And open your homes to each other without complaining, and serve each other according to the gift each person has received as good managers of God's diverse gifts. And whoever speaks should do so as those who speak God's word, and whoever serves should do so from the strength that God furnishes. Do this so that in everything God may be honored through Jesus Christ. To him be honor and power forever and always. Amen. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Holy God, as we worship you this morning, we seek to honor you. So let our thoughts, our words, and our actions be pleasing and honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you grew up going to church. How many of us went to church as a kid? Most of us. That's fantastic. Now, how many of us enjoyed going to church as a kid? So, thank you for being honest. So, most of you did, but, you know, there were some people that were probably forced or dragged or something like that. You know, I've almost always enjoyed going to church. And I imagine most of us are here because we enjoy going or coming to worship. Maybe whether we're worshiping here in person or we're worshiping online, but we're doing so because we enjoy it. We get something out of it. It helps us grow as a person, as a follower of Christ. And maybe some of us were dragged as children, and maybe today some of us are still dragged by the ear to church. But even then, usually we find something about it that we like. And so we develop this habit of going to worship. You could say that we are churchgoers. And maybe you have friends or family who don't go to church, but they know you go to church. And so there might be a time when they come up to you and say, "Hey, don't you go to church? Well, could you pray for me?" You ever experienced that? It is good when people know that they can come to us and ask us to pray for them. Yet, you're more than a churchgoer, aren't you? Me too. Not only am I a churchgoer, but I identify myself, sometimes I label myself as, I'm also an American. I'm a veteran. And while I was born and raised in Oklahoma, I consider myself an Arkansan. After all, it's official since my wife turned me into a Razorback fan. So, you know, the obligatory, "Ooh, Big Suey, go Razorbacks!" Yeah, but I know I need to be careful because I also know we're close to Red Wolf and Bear territory. But in reality, who I am, how I identify myself, is a deep and important question. How do you identify yourself? Maybe you do it by a job or a title. Maybe you say, I'm a teacher, or as Ms. Kelly said earlier, you know, as an artist, or in all the things that she listed, a teacher or a nurse. Maybe you see yourself as a salesperson or a production worker or a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a musician or maybe a combination of some of those. Or maybe you identify yourself by your parents or your spouse or your children. Or maybe there's someone in your family who runs a well-known business or holds an important community position, and that's how you relate yourself to others. Or maybe you've received some type of an award, like a medal, or we've been called Citizen of the Year or Community of the Year. Who do we say we are? Who does society say we are? Sometimes we use these tags, these labels, these identifiers. Sometimes society uses them for us, and they tell us who we are. And we embrace them, whether good or bad. And sometimes we use them because identifying things makes life easier and simpler. However, sometimes we allow these labels, these names, these identifiers by the world to put us in a box and say, because you're this, you cannot be this. And what we often forget is that we are not who society says we are. But more importantly, we need to know who God says we are. So, who are you? We're going to spend today and part of the next couple of weeks exploring this question. Today, especially, we're focusing on this part of it. It's who are we? Who does God say we are? Let's find out. Let's go back a little bit to the beginning. Let's go back on. When God created the heavens and the earth, God speaks, and God speaks everything else into creation. What I mean is that all other creatures were spoken into existence. All other creatures were spoken and simply rose up out of the earth or out of the sea or appeared in the sky. But not us. No, God took special care in creating us. Humanity was formed by God's hands and created into God's own image. It was given life by God's breath. Our breath is God's own breath. When we look at the beginning of our Bible and we open up the book of Genesis and we begin reading in there, originally it was written in the ancient language of Hebrew. And the Hebrew word for breath is ruach. But that is also the same word for spirit. So God breathed God's spirit into us. In other words, our spirit comes from God's own spirit. But you know what else? After God created us and created creation and everything else out of God's love, God had something to say about it. God looked at everything that God had created before we were created and said, "It is good." Who wants to be good? I know I do. But then God created us in God's own image and then paused and looked at it. And then God said, "It was very good." Not just okay, not just good enough, not just simply good. God looked at us and said that we are very good. Ephesians 2:10 says it like this, that we are God's accomplishment. Some translations say God's masterpiece. Like God is this master artist and we are God's masterpiece. And God has created us in God's own image with a special purpose. But what is that purpose? Again, let's look back a little bit. When the world started doing its own thing and going its own way, there were people who knew about God, but they ignored God. And there were people who knew God. They didn't just know about God, but they actually knew God's goodness and God's love. And so they began to worship God. Those who trusted or had faith in God have always had to make that intentional decision in a world that consistently pretends that God doesn't matter. For example, we're familiar with the story of Cain and Abel, right? And Cain killed his brother Abel. And afterwards, he went off and he had a wife and he had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And they followed in his footsteps. And they became even more violent. They ignored God. However, Cain's other brother, Seth, had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and they walked with God. They knew God. Even as humanity and the world around them became more and more violent, they were different. And they worshiped God. We find another example in Joshua, when Joshua has taken over the leadership of the Israelites for Moses, and he's led them into the promised land. And they are going into a land that is already full of people. People who worship idols and false gods and other kings. And Joshua asked the people to make a decision on whom they will serve. They can serve these false idols. They can serve man and kings. Or they can serve themselves. Yet Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Today, as followers of Jesus, we are still making this same decision to follow the Lord. Now, on paper, it looks easy. When we read it in Scripture, it sounds easy. It makes sense. When you look at it, you know, how God has proven God's self, how Jesus has proven that He is the way and the truth and the life, and how He reflects God's divinity and His nature of God, and that He is that fulfillment of everything that our soul longs for. Not everyone sees it that way. And my heart breaks for them. We are in a world full of people who are either unconvinced or deconverted. And we have ample opportunity to follow a different road and lead a different life and be this example of God's creation that we are called to be. And the church has wrestled with this since the first apostles and disciples were sent out. In fact, early in his ministry, Jesus said, "A time is coming." In fact, a time is here when we will worship in spirit and in truth. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 6. He says that we are the temple of the living God. And that God will be with us and we will be God's people. But then Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 4. Says, "As Christ suffered, we all suffer. Yet we are done living for human desires. We are done living as unbelievers. Instead, in everything we do, we are living for God." When we look closer at our scripture for this morning, Peter is telling us not just who we are, but why God created us. He goes on to say that God is about to wrap up everything as we know it, that Jesus is on his way. Yet until he gets here, we have a very specific purpose. So we do what God has created us to do. We pray, and we love, and we show hospitality, and we serve each other with our God-given gifts. You serve one another with your God-given gifts. And as you do this, you remember that your words reflect God, and your strength comes from God, so that in everything that we do, that I do, that you do, we do it to honor God through Jesus Christ. Let's let that sink in. Let's think about it. There's a lot wrapped up in that. Everything we do is to honor God. To sum it up, we are made by God in the image of God as God's masterpiece. And we are created to be like the Creator, to create good things, good lives, better lives. We are created to be examples of God's goodness and love. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, we worship God in spirit and in truth. And to do this, we are gifted by God to do good things, gifted by God to glorify, magnify, and honor God. And this plays out in how we make life better and make you better at life through Jesus Christ. And what I mean is this, is that we are gathered here on this Sunday morning in this beautiful building, in this sacred space, to worship God. And this is very important. However, this kind of worship is only for our benefit. It's for our strengthening. It's for our edification. This is our worship in spirit. But just as important, if not more important, is what we do outside of this beautiful building, outside of this sacred and beautiful space, is that out there we are still worshiping God. By accepting Jesus, we ourselves become temples of God. That we're no longer saying things and doing things to our old way, that we are spiritually remade back into God's image, renewed and restored so that we can worship in truth. And this is the truth, that God loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all of you. And there is nothing that you or any of you can do about that. And this is the truth that we owe to everyone outside these doors, whichever door you go out. So we owe them the same love that God has showed us. So instead of wasting our time judging people who don't know God, we need to get busy at showing God's unconditional love, uncalculated mercy, and unlimited grace. Because that is worshiping in truth. And that is honoring God through Jesus Christ. See, being a people of God isn't just a status for our social media profile. It's not just a title or a name badge that we wear when we're out and about. And it's not something that we can buy or that we can earn. It's a gift that you are given. And you have already received it. It's a calling, and you are called to it. So any day, every day, we can choose to live into our mission of honoring God by loving and serving God and people. Now, maybe you're not there yet. You're the choir. I know you're there. But maybe somebody out there is not there yet. Maybe you've experienced something less than love shared by someone who says that they love God. Or maybe you're working on realizing just how much God loves you. Or maybe you're wrestling with pain and doubt. And if you are, that's okay. Because God's grace meets you where you are. God's grace is right there with you. So we celebrate God's grace. We celebrate that as God's grace meets us where we are, that we begin to grow in mission and in faith. And we seek to be and become the people that God has created us to be. So it's time to let go of the cynics and the deniers who say you can't do that, or who try to put you in a box, or who try to tell you that you're nothing special or that you don't matter, because you do. You are special. You matter to God and to me. Who you are matters. So who are we? We are God's very good people. And we are people who live out our worship to God through love and grace. So that no matter what happens in the world around us, we will continue to live out our worship to God. Amen?